Well, today we have a special treat for you in that we have a guest speaker with us. Many of you know Ian and Val Bird. They pastor Church of the Rock in Calgary, and they were some partners that we had with Global Focus in the past. In fact, we helped them launch that church there in Calgary a few years ago, and we've had Ian preach here on a Sunday morning several times, but this Sunday, even though they're both here, we wanted Val. Sorry, Ian. Val is one of those people that the moment you're around her, you automatically start feeling better about yourself because she has a gift of encouragement. In fact, when I've had the opportunity to preach with Val in the front row, I just feel like I want her to follow me all over the world. Because she makes me feel like I'm the best preacher she's ever heard, and everything I say is like, wow, where did that come from? That is like brilliant. She has that sort of ability to do that. So we have to really encourage her today because it's only fair. In fact, Val, sometimes my wife hits me and she says, you like it when people get behind you and you just sit there like a bump on a log. I'm like, well, I'm listening. I'm not one of those people. But today I'm going to shout you down as you're up there because you deserve it. You deserve it, Val. She's a powerful woman of God, and we're blessed to have her with us today. She had a great word in our first service, and I know you're in for a good one here. So, Val, why don't you come? Great to have you. I know your whole family's here as well today. Good to see you, boys. You're somewhere out there. Great to have you.
I just wanted to say thank you for the privilege, Joel and church, for allowing me to come because I love this church. I am so blessed and so grateful for the impact that this church has had on our family. So I think we have a couple of slides. I just want to show you my crew that I'm so proud of, and we love them. And again, this picture is interesting because I didn't realize I was wearing my sunglasses, and nobody told me to take them off. So there you go. That was at Casey and Lauren's wedding last summer, and we are here actually because of AMP. And so Casey, Lauren, and Addison all get to be here with us and take in AMP. So we're really thankful for that. And our beautiful grandkids, and there's one more picture here that shows our newest addition, Kezi. We have a girl in the Bird family, so we're really excited about that because there's a lot of guys in Ian's lineage. So she came through, and Keziah is just a beautiful little girl. And there's Effie. That is so Effie. And that is so Titus. So those are my grandkids. Those are our grandkids, and they're our pride and joy. So I just wanted to thank you and to greet you on behalf of our family and behalf of Church of the Rock Calgary. Because of you, it's kind of your fault, because of you, we're there. And God used you as a church to help provide for us, even financially, but not just that. Global Focus was huge. I just so bless you because I can appreciate all the work that must go on. I'm actually not that administrative at all. There's just a tiny bit in me. So when I looked at all that had to go on, and I've listened to Linda and tell me all this and that and what she was planning and different people that were involved, that just makes me tired right off the bat. I'm like, no way. But I'm so grateful you did it. I'm so grateful you pushed through every year to partner with people that you see the call of God on their lives and on their ministries, and you provide for them. And so our kids were so impacted by coming to that, Casey and Lyndon especially, and we've just so enjoyed you. And you know, not only that, I wanted to say this, is that as a family, we owe you a debt of love. And I really, really mean that from the bottom of my heart. You've invested in us way back in the day when you didn't even know. And I want to say this too. Some of you are new here and you're going, who's we? We. Why do you keep saying we? Because you are a part of this church family, and whatever you're connected to, you have an investment in that. And so your time and your energy and the things that are coming up in this church, that counts. And so I just want to say thank you collectively, because when my kids were here, Russell, our second son, came to Bible school here with Pola, who he ended up marrying, and he got to live with Corey and Shannon Luke. He got to help lead the junior youth. He grew in his leadership ability here because of you. And even before that, when Ian and I were just starters and we weren't even pastoring yet, Dave and Linda poured into us at critical junctions of our journey, because as a church, you were willing to release them to go and be a blessing and run in their call. And I want to thank you for that, because it made a difference for our calling. And then later, Casey came, and during Global Focus, he preached his very first message, and he's here somewhere. I don't know where he's at, but I remember asking him in the car. We had homeschooled all of our kids, and so Casey hadn't ever spoken publicly before. There were no real opportunities for him to do that, and I remember asking him, I think it was in the car on our way here, I said, Casey, are you nervous? How are you feeling? Because Tim Harrison had invited him to speak to the youth, and he goes, no, I'm excited. And I went, oh God, what does that mean? So I remember sitting at the back with Ian, clutching my plastic water bottle, scared and thinking, how is he going to do? And he was just a natural. It was just amazing to watch God use him already at that young age. And it was such a treat today to see Janie up here on the stage, because she and Thomas and Atlee, some of the others, have just become great, great friends of Casey's because of that time here and just pouring into him. And so God developed that. And then Addison, during our camp, when so many of you sacrifice time and money and you come and you bring yourselves to camp, and it's a long way and it's a long investment, but you know what? It's an investment in kingdom. And you've invested by encouraging, and by some of your people have been speaking, and just by milling around with other people, what you carry as a church, your passion for kingdom, your passion for the local church, it has impacted our network. And Diane Harrison and her prophetic teams, her book, I'm so excited about that. If you are interested, you need to go. Even if you're not and you're just curious, you need to go hear about the prophetic, because that's part of the DNA that this church carries. It is a gift that God uses through this church. And so Addison gets to be on the teams because Diane got him involved, and he loves it now. And so I'm just so thankful for that ministry that God has used. And then our youngest son, Lyndon, he came to the Focus youth things that Tim Harrison had run. And you know what? One of the sessions that he went to, he said, Mom, I wondered if I could hear God. And he said there was another option that he could have gone to do some outdoor stuff or whatever, but Tim was running this one course on hearing, this session on hearing the voice of God. Lyndon went, and our son came back a changed young man. He was 14 years old at the time. He and I were clashing quite a bit. He's a very strong-willed young man, and you know what? I could see it wasn't just that he could hear the Lord, but that he was sensitive. Something erupted in his spirit because of his time here. And so you know what? I believe the Lord adds that to your account, because our sons are all engaging in kingdom stuff, and the Lord's hand is on them, and you've had a part to play in that. And I want to thank each and every one of you, and now even AMP, and I want to bless Doug and Anatoly and others for the vision that they've allowed that ministry would have in your church and in the network. And it's just been a huge, huge blessing to all of us. And so as I was praying for you, I was hoping that God would let me just speak a message I already had prepared, because I had a really busy week and we knew AMP was coming, and I was like, oh Father God, to just prepare something. But you know what? He didn't let me. There was something in my heart that he just kept stirring. And the more I prayed about you, and the more I thought about it, the more excited I got. And I went, okay, Lord, we'll do something fresh here. And so I believe I have a prophetic encouragement for your church. And my heart is that the Holy Spirit would help you right now to listen and to engage, and not just consider that this is another Sunday where you're showing up and you're just being here, but the Lord specifically, personally, I believe, has something to say to you. One more thought on the church in a broader sense. This is what you belong to. I felt the Holy Spirit put the word flagship in my spirit for you. That, I believe, is what the Lord has called you to. And a flagship, I wasn't even actually sure what that was. And it says this: it is the lead ship in a fleet of vessels. Typically the first, the largest, the fastest, the most heavily armed, or the best known. And what I felt the Lord say to me was that this church body, the work that you've done, this church family is actually known in the heavens. You have sown and sown and sown by different things that you've been a part of and things that you've initiated. And the Lord wants to commend you, but he also wants to encourage you that there is so much more. There are more leaders that are going to come out of this church. There are more leaders that are going to come out of this place. There are church planters that are going to come out of this place. There are teachers of the gospel that are going to come out. There are other crusade preachers that are going to come out of this house. There are other people and businessmen, and there are other women that are going to rise up, and you're going to have ideas in your spirits, and God's going to use this church to bring release to your gifts and abilities. And I want to speak to the spirit of cynicism right now in Jesus' name and tell you to be quiet and to go in Jesus' name. I speak ears to hear that you would hear, no matter where you're at, that there would be a word of hope and encouragement for you this morning. And so I just want to take some thoughts that I've had in my heart from the book of Nehemiah. I was in it this summer, and I just took so many notes, and I'm not going to overwhelm you with a whole bunch of deep teaching on that, but there was the spirit behind it that I felt like I wanted to just impart and to encourage you with. And so let's start with Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, and this is what it says. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of the king, Nehemiah said, I was at the fortress of Susa, and Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. And they said to me, things are not going so well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They're in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. And then if we jump ahead to verse 11, Nehemiah said this, O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. And the thing that I noticed about Nehemiah was this. He wasn't defined by his position or his job. That's like added as an afterthought at the end of that first chapter. Did you notice that? But instead, we start his memoirs with this. He said, here's where I was, and some people visited me from a place that I care deeply about, my homeland. And I asked the question, how is it going? And they told me things were terrible. And God's burden hit his heart. And Nehemiah was wrecked. And he mourned and fasted and prayed. And then God used the position that he was in to give him favor, to step up and to make a difference. And my first thought for you is God is looking for people to step up. God is looking for people who today would say, Jesus, I'm willing. I'm willing to let you give me your burden. Now, for some of you, you might be new here. Maybe you're just checking out Christianity even, and it's fairly new to you. That does not preclude you. That does not make it so that you're not able to get involved. For some of you, though, you've been here a while, and you have served maybe, and you've taken a break, or you've been hugging the wall, and you haven't really engaged. You've enjoyed the church family. You've enjoyed the benefits of being a part of this church family. But you haven't even quite engaged yet. And today we heard lots of announcements that said life groups are there and different things that you can get involved with. And I just want to encourage you that every one of you is needed. Nehemiah rallied the people together. He accepted the burden that God gave him. And he said, what can I do to help, Lord? And God gave him a burden. And then he rallied the people, and they began to step up, and they began to engage and get involved. And they were just ordinary people like him. Now, here's the truth. Not a one of us is ordinary. Not a one of us is an ordinary individual, because when we come to know Jesus, when he touches our lives, something changes inside of us, and we have been transported out of a kingdom of darkness, brought into a kingdom of light, and instantly God enlists us and says, you're needed. All hands on deck. Everyone is needed to engage. And what I love about this picture is that Nehemiah was a regular guy, but God used him to do extraordinary things. That's God's heart. Let's go quickly to Isaiah 6, and starting at verse 1, and I love this part too. How did God call Isaiah, a phenomenal prophet, one of the major prophets of the Old Testament? And it says, it was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. And then I said, it's all over. I am doomed. I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. We sang a lot of songs today about seeing the Lord. and engaging with him and seeing him. Then one of the angels flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips and he said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." So what happens here? He sees the Lord, and when he sees the Lord, he sees his filth, he sees his depravity, and he recognizes, I am a person that is unclean, and I'm with a people that are unclean. But God doesn't stop there. When God shows you who he is, and you see who you really are, God shows you, and he comes to you, and he says, I want to fix that, I want to heal that, I want to cleanse that, I want to pull you out of that place of darkness. And the Lord didn't leave Isaiah there in the awareness of his filth. He took the coal off the altar, an angel touched his lips and he said, "You're clean now and your sins are forgiven." And then what happens? Then the Lord says, "Whom shall I send as a messenger?" And Isaiah, in that moment, because he had seen the Lord and because he had been cleansed, he had the grace to respond, "Here I am, Lord, send me." For some of you, life is not that fulfilling. You get up every day, you go to a job, you pay the bills, you love your family, you come to this amazing church, but life feels empty. And you feel like, could there be more? And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to come to you today and say, if you will say yes, if you will respond, if you will step up and say, "Here I am, Lord." If you will ask the question and say, "Lord, how are things going? How can I engage? What can I be involved in?" I believe the Lord wants to help you to see where you can take your place. And what I love so much about Nehemiah, back in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, there are different individuals that God uses, ordinary people that engaged in kingdom work. And one of my favorites is a man named Shallum, and he had all daughters. And the Bible tells us that he took a section of the wall and he and his daughters built up that section. And they did that. Then there were others. There were merchants and there were goldsmiths. And they did that. They took a section and they built it up. They were ordinary people. They had ordinary jobs. They had functions. They had to make a living too. But they said, "Kingdom work is my portion. I want a piece of this wall. I want a piece of kingdom. I want to be a part of what God is doing." And God used them. And in the book of Nehemiah, there was a place for them. And there is a place for you. There is a place for every one of you to engage in kingdom work. There is every hand is needed. Every person is needed. God created you. He gave you gift sets. He gave you his spirit. And he wants you to be fully alive, fully engaged in kingdom work. I haven't done the same thing my whole life. Neither has my husband. There's different seasons where God is asking us to do different things. But every time, Dave has this thing that he always says to us at AMP, and it's so true, and he's preached it to you, I'm sure. He said when he gave his life to the Lord and when God's filled him with his Holy Spirit, he said, "The answer is yes, Lord. What's the question?" I want to suggest to you that God is always asking a question. God is always looking for those whose hearts are turned towards him, because there is a need for you in a deeper way, in a deeper level, to engage with the things of God. And that's God's desire. Nehemiah stepped up. He felt God's burden for the people. The people stepped up as Nehemiah rallied them and gave them God's vision. This church has a vision. This church has a vision for more. And when Joel stands up here and the other pastors and leaders stand up here, they look out and they see you. And they know God sees you. And their heart that is towards the Lord that sees you is moved with a vision, a compelling vision, that you and I would all engage together in saving the lost, in healing the broken, in reaching our neighborhoods, reaching this city, affecting the nations, saving the world. Businessmen, that's what money's for. Every individual, that's what your time is for. And God is faithful to fill you up and to give you what you need so that you can engage. God's desire for you is that you step up. In Ephesians 4:16, the word says this, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. It helps the other parts to grow. What you have to offer in relationship and in your gift sets. Do you know that Romans 12, I love this because it just stays with me. So here's a passage about gifts, and it talks about leadership, and it talks about all these other things that we would expect to hear about gifts. But the very last one, it says this, a gift for showing kindness. Did you know that's a gift? Many of you have that gift, and you don't understand that that's a significant gift that God has given you. And it is not a smaller, lesser gift. If every believer engages in their gift sets and says, Lord, what do I have? And you actually make it a study, a personal study. When you read 1 Corinthians 12, when you read Romans chapter 12, when you read some of the other passages that talk about the gifts, that's not talking about everybody else but you. That's talking about you. And God needs you. You matter to the Lord. He saved you on purpose for a purpose. That's God's desire for you. And I just want to encourage you today. This church needs you. Not because they're just trying to do something so that they look good. That's not the issue at all. They want to bring God glory. And you were created to bring God glory. No matter how insignificant you think what you have to contribute is, if you are faithful, if you step up, if you say yes, God will keep opening doors for you. And my next point is, God wants us all to level up. Some of you have been faithful. Some of you have stepped up. Some of you have given your time and your energy, and you've been faithful. But the Lord is asking you, will you believe me for more? Will you believe that I have more for you? I like this guy, Nehemiah 3:15. Again, it's Shalom, and I think it's the same dude that has all the daughters, and that's pretty cool. So the fountain gate, it says here, verse 15, the fountain gate was repaired by Shalom, the leader of the Mizpah district. He rebuilt it, he roofed it, he set up its doors, he installed its bolts and bars. Then he repaired the wall of the pool of Siloam near the king's garden, and he rebuilt the wall as far as the stairs that descended from the city of David. This guy didn't just do the bare minimum. This guy was all in. He was all in. He went over and above. And I want to suggest to you today that God has more for you. God has more even for the faithful. And some of you, you are faithful and you are good at showing up. You are good at shouldering the work. You are good at being a pillar in the house. You are good at it. You know how to do it. The Lord spoke to me this year and he said, Val, you're faithful, but you've become faithless. And I thought, what? And he said, you have. You struggle to believe that I can do more with you, that there's more, that the more is ever going to happen. And he said, I want you to begin to press in faith again and to begin to make time to ask me for more. Some of you need to give your time to believing and praying and pressing in to your prophetic words, because those are the dreams that are on God's heart for you. God is looking for dreamers. God is looking for people that will dare to dream, but not just dream. You can dream, I can dream. I got in trouble in school with being Val daydreams too much. It was written on my report card. And I like to daydream. I do. I have quite an imagination. But I've come to realize that's actually part of a prophetic gift that God has given me to see things. That's how I hear. It's not just prophetic. It's for me personally. It's how I hear him. He'll show me a conversation. He'll show me having a conversation with somebody. I can actually see the words that I'm going to say and whatever. He just leads me. That's how God works with me. I don't know if there's any other weirdos out there like me, but anyway, that's how I feel. That's how God does with me. And God's looking for dreamers who will dare to dream and to believe that there could be more, that what you're currently doing isn't all there is. Now, if you're satisfied and you're seeing fruitfulness, that's great. But I truly believe this house has many people that are sitting and they've settled. And God is encouraging you and he says, you've been faithful, but I've got more. I've got more faith for you. I've got more dreams for you. I've got more opportunities for you if you will press in. Now, here's the deal. This is a challenge for all of us. Dreaming takes time. And in our culture, especially in church, but in our culture at large, we're busy people. We're very busy people. And can I challenge you with a few things today? One of those things would be this, that you would look at your calendar and you would look into your month and you would make a decision that you're going to spend some time just thinking, just praying, just being with Jesus and asking him what the more could look like. God wants to take your time and give you dreams and visions, because sometimes I realize it's easier just to go about life and hope that God just sends down the hook or yanks you or you know, appears to you like a vision like Isaiah. But sometimes, like Nehemiah, we have to ask. And I believe if you will ask for dreams, I believe if you will take time to dream, God will stir something in your spirit and put his hopes, his dreams, his desires for your life, for the sphere that's around you, for the maybe the things you're already engaging in, or maybe it's even more. And God wants to engage you in that. That's God's desire for you. Dreamers become doers. I have been very good at dreaming. I have a list of things that I've wanted to get at for years that I started even before probably we were in Calgary. And about 3 years ago, I sat down in one of our theaters, because we meet in one of the theaters and then the other one we would have prayer in. And 3 years ago in January, I sat down and it was all by myself. Nobody had showed up yet to pray. And I had this time with Jesus and I was just able to quietly worship on my own. And I saw a picture of myself doing some pretty cool God things. And I heard the Lord say, prepare. And so I thought, okay, I'm not quite sure what that means. What does it mean, prepare? I'm busy. I'm working. I've got things to do. And he drew me back to the booklet of all the ideas and things. And then the next year, he gave me another word in January as I was sitting before him. I said, Lord, what's my word? Ian was encouraging all of us then to say, what's God's word for you for the new year? And I heard the word intentional. And I thought, Lord, how different is that from prepare? Like, you know, that doesn't seem... But he said, no, I want you to get intentional. Some of these things, Val, you're always thinking about good ideas. You see, by nature, I'm actually a chicken. And by nature, I like to hug the wall. I like my comfort zone. I don't actually like to step out a whole lot. But God is so faithful to just lovingly nudge me and push me and encourage me to get moving. And then this last year, he gave me the word focus. And he showed me a picture with Ian's help. It was like an arrowhead. And he said, prepare was down here, intentional was here, and focus was here. And now I feel like the Lord is saying to me personally, fire. That I was going to be an arrow shot. That he was going to fire me out. We need prophetic impressions. We need time to listen to Jesus. We need time to spend with the Lord. And yesterday, Dave Wells was speaking about the spiritual disciplines, that when we show up every day and when we have time with Jesus and we listen to his word, that we are putting ourselves and positioning ourselves under the spout of God's grace. And God has a spout that he wants each one of us to get under so that he can encourage us and empower us and infuse us with his spirit and his grace and his anointing. And some of you have sensed a call on your life. You sense God has the more for you, and you're just doing the things you know to do to be faithful, and that's awesome. I commend you for that. But I want to encourage you, take the time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Take the time to ask him for his dreams for you, because he wants to speak to you. I want to give you another tip about what I do and what Ian does that help us so much to prime that water of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is a spirit-filled church. You believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you, many of you know this already. Some of you are going to learn about it. Some of you have learned it. And you are filled with the Spirit. But one thing that I became very aware of, and I want to recommend a book to you by Jackie Pullinger. It was written years ago, but it's called Chasing the Dragon. And it was of a young woman who had this desire in her heart to go to China and make a difference. And no organization would sanction her because she had no gifts. She was a young woman, and she had no money. She had nothing going for her, but this thing wouldn't let her go. So she went to China, and God used her powerfully. I want to encourage all of you to read it, because it's an amazing book. But here's what got her. She encountered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was a couple that challenged her and asked her had she ever received it, and she hadn't. So they prayed for her, and she got the gift of tongues. She spoke in tongues. She got a prayer language. God gave her words. But you know what? She said, I had always expected to feel something, and nothing changed. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel different. I didn't have this amazing encounter, some of the scary stuff she'd even heard about. And so she said, after a while, I stopped praying in the Spirit. Very shortly after she got it, she stopped. A year later, the same couple ran into her again, and they said, so how is it going? How has the baptism of the Holy Spirit impacted you? She says, well, it hasn't. She says, I stopped. She said, I didn't see any change. I didn't feel anything. And so I just quit. And they said to her, since when do God's gifts and his empowerment of you depend on your feelings? And they said this. They said, we want to challenge you to pray in the Spirit every day as an act of discipline. And when I read that, my heart was challenged. Because I'm a tongue talker. I can pray in the Spirit. I know how to do that. But to actually make it a regular discipline, here's what happened to Jackie. When she began to do that, she said nothing happened at first, and she just set her timer, and she went for it, and she prayed in the Spirit. But as the weeks went by, the territory that she was in, many of the missionaries had told her, it's too hard of a ground. Don't expect results. People don't get saved here. Just do your best to love on them and to just minister to them the best you can, but things don't change. But as the weeks went by, things shifted significantly, and people started to come to know Christ. People began to come after her, asking her how they could know Jesus. Prostitutes got saved. Heroin addicts got delivered. And she said, heroin addicts, when they would pray for them, they would be so newly saved, they hardly knew a thing about Jesus. And she would lay hands on them, and they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would speak in tongues. And she said, then their withdrawals, if they would pray in the Spirit, they could have a withdrawal without pain. And she said, that was without exception. And I went, oh, dear Jesus, we don't always know what we've got. We underestimate God's gifts. Why did he give them to us? Just so that we could sound weird and look different than the rest of the world? No, God's desire was that this was meant to edify you. If you read the scriptures in Corinthians, it says he who prays in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. But it's more than that. It's inviting and praying according to the will of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing, Romans 8. So I want to encourage you, would you join me in making praying in the Spirit a regular part of your time with Jesus? You can do it when you're driving. You can do it when you're washing dishes. You can do it when you're at work. You can do it almost anywhere, sometime of the day. And if you don't do it already and you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, ask somebody that goes to this church. Say, how can I find out more about that? I want that gift. God wants to empower you. Chris Hodges, a great pastor, said this. He said, praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. And I have to fully agree. I was 11 years old when I received that gift from the Lord. I was terrified. And this really wonderful, very large lady held me for half an hour as I cried out of fear. And she just kept praying in tongues quietly in my ear. And I finally got a few words. But I'll tell you this, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was transformed. And some of you are thinking, I haven't had that experience, Val. I did get Spirit-filled, but not much changed. Can I encourage you, re-engage? Can I encourage you, re-engage? Ask again, Father, I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Somebody once said we're leaky vessels, and the truth is we are leaky. We need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. That's God's desire. So Nehemiah leveled up. He adjusted every step of the way. He went from being a cupbearer to a burden bearer, to an overseer and a builder, to a resourcer, to a warrior, to a rallier and an encourager, to director of the temple and lead worshiper. He was an amazing man. And this church is full of people like that who have adjusted time and time and time again. And I just want to encourage you, no matter where you are, no matter what age you are, whether you're young or whether you're older, the Holy Spirit has more for you. There are dreams and visions that God wants to put into your heart and to your spirit that will bless the kingdom endeavors that God has put into the hearts of the people of this church. I want to finish with this thought for people that are at halftime. Do you know when we get halfway through something, it's so easy to quit, isn't it? It's easy to say, I'm done. I can't really do it. I don't have the stamina. And I just felt like in my spirit there were so many of you, as there are in pretty much any sphere of life, but particularly in this house, I felt the desire to encourage people that feel like they're at halftime. You've been here a long time, some of you. You've engaged. You stepped in. You're still stepping in. You're still believing for more. But you're hurting, and your hearts are weary, and you're discouraged, and some of you have paid a high price. Your prayers haven't been answered like you thought. Some of you have dealt with health battles that were significant. Some of you, marriage issues that are strong and that are hard. Some of you, your children are not walking with Jesus. And you've been praying and believing and believing and praying. Nehemiah 4:6 says this, at last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. And verse 10 says this, then the people of Judah began to complain, the workers are getting tired, there is so much rubble to be moved, we will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. The truth is, life is not easy, is it? And our walks with Jesus are not as predictable as we'd like. And sometimes we serve God faithfully and bad things still happen to us. And we get wounded and disappointed. We get disillusioned and we pull back from the work on the wall. We still believe. We're still faithful in our own way. But we're struggling to believe. And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to encourage you, as he has encouraged me many times, that he's not done. And especially for those of you that have prodigals that you're believing God for, I felt in my spirit that I was to specifically say to you that God is at work in their lives and in their hearts. And to a measure, he wants to lift that burden from you, because it doesn't disqualify you from engaging in the work of other spiritual sons and daughters that have come into this house and that are going to come into this house. And he needs your hearts and he needs your open arms to engage with them, because you do have the goods, contrary to what the enemy keeps telling you, that if you hadn't failed here, here, and here, this person or that son or that daughter would still be walking with Jesus. You know what? He forgives all our sins. He cleanses. You know what? I've tried to be a good parent, but I've made lots of mistakes. I've hurt our kids. And many of you have repented for the things. We all fall short. Don't you wish there was a manual that you get one shot at this kid, and first time around, if you could just be told exactly how they're wired, what they need at every moment, that it would never screw up and nothing would go south for you. But that's not how it is. And things happen. And sometimes you've done your very best and you showed up at church and you brought them to church and you brought them to youth group and you put them through the Christian school and they went on all the mission trips and they're still not hungry for God on their own. But God's got their number. He knows where they live. He knows how to orchestrate circumstances and situations and put people around them and put people in their paths. And you've been carrying that like a bit of a ball and chain because you feel like loving them means you have to carry that weight. I don't know why, but today I feel like I'm supposed to be very strong with some of you. That weight needs to come off in Jesus' name. You don't need to carry that. Jesus bore that on the cross. You can pray. But God is at work in their situations, and he's calling them back, and they will come. Meanwhile, he wants to heal you, and he wants to fill your hearts with joy, and he wants you to engage again because you have so much to offer. And that demonic lie needs to come off of your spirit. And I want to encourage you. I don't know what it's going to take. For some of you, it just might be a prayer today, but for some of you, it might take some warfare. That heavy oppression that is on your spirit will go in Jesus' name. And you will be lifted, and you'll be able to see again in the heavens like you used to. You'll be able to believe, and God will use you to bring many sons and daughters into righteousness and into kingdom engagement. Because God still sees you, and he will take care of your kids. That's God's heart for you today. I feel that so strongly. You know, my parents were killed when I was 19, and we were a good Christian family. We loved the Lord, and I just didn't get it. It rocked my faith absolutely rocked my faith. And I had a bit of a faith crisis for quite a while. And we were just getting married, Ian and I, and I knew I was marrying a mighty man of God, but man, our faith got hit so bad as a church, my siblings. And we had to walk through a season where I thought, God, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten us? You had all those promises you gave us and all that potential in who we were, and now we're like in a holding pattern. And again, Ian writes it in his book, Life is a Highway, all of our stories about just feeling sometimes just so forgotten, like, God, we love you, but what about all the stuff? What about all the dreams? And we were having a crisis of halftime, and it went on for a long time. But you know that God was faithful, and I just want to speak to some of you who feel like you're waiting and you're wondering, has God forgotten me? I had prophetic words. Has God forgotten me? I want to encourage you to get those prophetic words out. Get them dusted off. Begin to pray over them again. Begin to look at them again. Begin to go after God and asking him for the more that he has for you. That's God's desire. And for some of you older saints, and I'm joining your ranks real soon here, I actually am already. You know what? We've been serving Jesus for a long time, but I want to tell you this. I really believe God wants to put the heart of Caleb in you so that you say, I can take my mountain. That God's not done. He wants to give you a fresh infusion of faith today. That's God's desire for you today. And I just want to commend the prayer warriors in this house. I had one sitting behind me in worship, I'll tell you. I could hear her. She's worshiping the Lord. Bless you, sister. You know what? God wants to hear our prayers, and he needs to hear the prayers of the prayer warriors. I bless every one of you with a spirit of faith. Those of you that are pressing into the throne room of God for his promises to come true. Mary and Gary Williamson, so thankful for Mary and her texts. How are you doing? I'm praying for you. So grateful for that. So grateful for the ones in here that carry the work in faith in their hearts and in their spirits. So I bless you today. I bless you today. And I just want to leave you with some verses on hope today. Romans 5 says this, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I want to say this. Ian preached a message a couple weeks ago on perseverance. And he brought out something I'd never really thought about before. James chapter 1 commends Job for being a man of perseverance. And I just want you to take a moment to remember that Job suffered huge losses. He lost everything. He lost all his businesses in a day. He lost all his kids in a day. It's a horrible story. I used to hate that book, but I don't anymore because I love the outcome. And God wants to encourage you that your perseverance, God's not condemning you because you express discouragement and you express your frustration with him. God can handle it. God's looking for people that are willing to get real. And sometimes at halftime, you need to get real with God. You need to tell him you're frustrated. You need to tell him you're confused. You need to tell him you're discouraged. And he will lift your burdens, and he will refresh you. David did that all the time in the Psalms. That's what God wants to do for you. Don't stay stuck at halftime. Engage. Engage with God's heart and God's spirit. I'm just going to jump. I'm going to skip a slide, and I'm going to jump to Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you will overflow with hope, and here's how, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot emphasize to you enough that when you got saved, when you got water baptized, and when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was God's energy and power actively at work in you to transform you and to flow through you to transform the places all around you. You can't do this on your own. None of us are smart enough. None of us are strong enough. None of us has the energy that we need without the Holy Spirit. That's God's desire for you. So Harvest City, I want to say this to you. You've done well, but there's so much more for you in the days ahead. You are called to be a flagship, an example of kingdom that the Lord holds up with joy and delight, and he still needs all hands on deck. You are a generational church, and every generation is needed. So step up, ask him what you can do, tell him that you're available. He's got new adventures for you today. Level up to the more that he has for you. Dare to dream, be filled with his spirit, ask him for fresh words and fresh fire. And halftime people, come to him for healing. Don't stay stuck in halftime. Let him refuel you and let him recommission you. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. And I want you to, thank you, Jesus. Would you just close your eyes? For some of you, the step up word resonated and you feel like, you know what, God, you're right. I come, I enjoy this church family, I'm here, but I really haven't engaged. I haven't actually asked you what you need. I haven't said, here I am, Lord, send me. And if that would be you, I want to encourage you to respond this morning. For some of you, the leveling up part is like, Lord, I've been faithful, but there's more. I need more faith. I know how to be faithful. I know how to serve. But I want more that you have for me, God. I believe there's more that you have. I want to feel fully alive again. I want to dream. Jesus, I'm willing to do that. And then those of you at halftime, believing for God's healing, God's recommissioning you, weary hands that God wants to raise. If that resonates with you on any of those levels, I want you to raise your hands this morning. Because I want to pray for an impartation of faith. I want to pray for an impartation of hope in Jesus' name. Father, we bless you. We thank you that you're here and that no day is an ordinary day with you. Lord Jesus, there is not one person in this place that is just ordinary. Every one of them has a call. And again, Father, I want to speak to that lie that's in many hearts here, God, that are a bit cynical, struggling, Lord, with unbelief and doubt. Father, I ask for a spirit of repentance to actually come on them because you revealed to me that that was actually a sinful state of mind to be in and to ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, you released me and brought a deposit of faith. I pray that over this house today in the name of Jesus, that a spirit of faith will be released over those that have struggled to believe that there is more. And God, I pray for a fresh love for people to love you and to engage with you again. That first love would be reignited in their hearts. And God, it's time for more. It's time for each individual here to experience the grace of God in a new way. Lord, it's time for the weary, the discouraged, to believe you and to trust you and to begin to pour out again. And to let you deal with the disappointments and the failures, perceived failures of the past, God. And to trust that you'll take care of that stuff. You'll take care of all the question marks. You've got so much more. Holy Spirit, would you wash over this place? Would you bathe people in your spirit this morning in the name of Jesus? Would you come, Lord God, and bring a fresh infilling? And Lord, release people's prayer languages. Release tongues, God, in this place. Let your people engage again, even as an act of obedience and spiritual discipline, believing, God, that you're going to do so much more. And I ask you for all this stuff. I know it's a lot, but nothing's too hard for you. Bless this church family. Keep making them the flagship they're called to be. Every person on the wall working and engaging in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you all. Thank you.